We'll be live. Hello, everybody. Look, we are here with full house. So many people here. We're here with Rivka, Anna, and now with Nasser. Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi. Great. Look at this new layout. I figured out what to do because I was like, how do we do these portrait videos? When we did like this, we're so small, right? But now I figured out this layout works fantastically. Right, so I have more cringe. Yay, more cringe, more new convert cringe for you guys. These were sent to me by Anna, so thank you so much, Anna, for these videos. It's so hard to watch these new converts to Islam talk about Islam so confidently, and they are clueless. Anna, give us some context about these videos that you just sent us.
Yeah, like there are channels who are all dedicated to revert stories, and I took all right. these videos from such a channel, and I'm not so sure about the last video if she's a revert or just commenting about the Quran, but I thought that it is worth watching.
Yeah. So there's three videos. I want to watch the first one. The last one is the one that we're going to have to spend the most time on because there's so much nonsense that's being thrown out. But guys, why do you think there's so many Western women converting to Islam or being sympathetic to Islam? What is it about this? Or I think it's not Western women. I think the Western woman one gets more attention. So it seems like it's more Western women. That's why those are the ones that keeps being shown to us more. Like, what do you guys think?
I personally think this is just an extension of the whole fetishization of the cover that they had before. I think I've said this before. This is my new word. It's Islamophilia. They right. are obsessed with it. I think that they are trying to get their bona fides on about how open and accepting they are. It's virtue signaling. It's also, in a way, reminds me of like a lot of young women when they go to college. They try these different personalities. You know, one week they're a socialist, then they're lesbian, then they're this or that. It's very common, I think, amongst young people, especially in the right. West, when you're trying on all these personalities, especially women.
Right. Got it. Okay. So, but by the way, guys, I forgot to, I completely forgot to introduce Nasser. Nasser is new here. And people are like, hey, Armin, who's the fourth host? So sorry about that. Anna, can you introduce, Anna, introduce Nasser for us? Thank you.
Well, it's actually my language partner for Arabic. He speaks Arabic very well, and especially also the Quranic variety. So I thought it would be very, very useful to have him here, and maybe he can also say a couple of words about himself.
Okay,
yeah, marhaban everyone. Yeah, so I'm Anna's language teacher. Well, like she said, more like exchange partner, and I'm very glad to be here.
See, Anna sees you guys as equal, but Nasser says I'm the teacher. So, like, Nasser sees him like, no, we're not equal. By the way, guys, I am keeping an eye on the monetization of this stream. So far, so good. So we haven't been demonetized. I'm trying to figure out how YouTube works. So far, we're monetized. I'm going to try to see what we say that triggers the algorithm for it to demonetize us. So we'll keep an eye on that. Also, okay, so let's just play. Yeah, go on.
About the Western women and Westerners converting to Islam, I think it's also with this conflict between Israel and Gaza and Hamas that they want to be on the side of the oppressed and sympathize with the oppressed side, which they view as the Muslims, the Arabs. So this is the way to sympathize with them.
I don't actually believe that there are many converts, but from my experience, from what I know, there is also the factor of marriage. Like many Muslims try to get like European women to marry them, and then they kind of force them into Islam.
Interesting. Okay. Anyways, let's start playing the first video. Guys, we're so far so good. We're monetized. However, please make sure you like the stream If you like, guys, the way the YouTube algorithm works is that if you click on the like button, YouTube is like, oh my God, this is a great content. I need to show this to more people because people are liking it. And because you like the stream, YouTube will show, more people will end up seeing this content. So please, you have that power to make more people see this video. So make sure you do that. Okay, so let's watch this video through and through without saying anything, and then we'll comment on it. Oh, thank you. David's saying done. Appreciate that.
Okay, so what is the true religion? Melly, I got you, babe. God only sent one religion. Let's think about this. It was perfected and completed when the final prophet was sent, and it was given a name, Islam. Every single prophet that ever came to this earth preached and taught the message of Islam. That you worship the one God and you worship him alone. You do not associate partners with him. You do not say that anything is equal to God, because there is nothing equal to the one creator. Do we really think that God would send all these religions and just be like, all right, you guys figure it out? No. God only sent one religion. So many prophets, including Jesus, said, keep the commandments. The first commandment says that your God and our God is one. It doesn't say anything about a trinity, believe that Jesus is going to die for your sins. No, but that your God is only one. Worship him alone. Do not associate partners with him. Someone said that if every religion says that they're the true religion, how do we know which one's true? This is not correct. Actually, Islam is the only religion that says that it is the correct one. When God Almighty Allah revealed the final revelation to the final prophet, it says in the Quran, these are God's direct words. He says, today I have completed your religion. Today I have perfected your religion, and it is Islam, and you are Muslims. That is the only religion accepted by God. And last but not least, the definition of the word Muslim is a person who completely surrenders and submits to the Creator. So this is why I say, this is why Muslims believe that every single prophet were Muslims, because they said to worship the Creator, the one Creator alone, and don't associate partners with him, and you're a Muslim. Simple as that. Islam is the only religion that says it's the true religion. Christianity does not say that it is the true religion. Judaism does not say it's the true religion. None of these religions say it's the true religion. Islam is the only religion that says God is the only, God says that Islam is the true religion. So, be a Muslim. Be a Muslim. Believe in only one God. Yeah? See, my cat is Muslim because it submits, it surrenders to God. It only does what it's supposed to do, what it was created to do, worship God. So, there you go. Be a Muslim. That is the way. Assalamualaikum. Peace out.
All right, so first of all, Dolly is asking why she has tattoos if she's a Muslim. I mean, she might have gotten them before she converted to Islam, and that's allowed to, I mean, that's before you're a Muslim. So that's, you know, everything you did before is completely washed away once you convert to Islam. All right. So Rivka wants to say something.
Go on, gotta Rivka say first. Something. Then, okay. So yeah. Her cadence, her arrogance, she sounds exactly like a lot of the Christian preachers that I've heard about telling you what you did wrong, what you need to do. And I just feel like this is just another one of those sort of, I know you don't, I'm right, you don't know anything. Very, you know, confident in somehow that she is the only one who has this answer. And it just reminds me of a lot of evangelicals, particularly because she's American. I could see it in there. She just moved from one to the other.
Anna.
Also, like her reasoning that Islam is correct because the Quran says so. I can write my own, make my own religion, say Muhammad is a false prophet, please all believe in Allah and in Anna. Okay, Anna is the true prophet, it's the only true prophet. And literally by her logic, because it's written somewhere, it would be a true religion. Like, this is the best religion here, it's written. It's an Islam, yes. Okay? You believe only in Islam,
got it, yeah.
Only in Anna, but, and Islam to Anna. Yeah.
But that's not her. That's not really her argument. I'll tell you what her argument is. But first, I want to see Nasser. If you have any points. By the way, Nasser, because you don't have a camera, I don't see that you are like raising your hand or not. So sorry if sometimes I don't. But go ahead.
It's okay, no problem. I just want to tell that in my country, which is a Muslim country, it's considered okay to curse God. Well, it's bad, but you know, they won't do anything bad to you. But if you curse Muhammad, you're done. I mean, you will get beat.
Yeah, but let's focus on what she's saying. Let's focus on the video that we watched. Do you have anything? Do you have any points on exactly what she just said?
Yeah, that's about when she said that we don't associate anyone to God. I think that Islam associates Muhammad to God, although factually, they do associate Muhammad to God.
Yeah, but that's just Muslims. You can't judge Islam by the actions of Muslims. You have to judge Islam by the actions of the Prophet and the words of God in the Quran. So that's how you're supposed to judge. So actually, let me tell you what she's trying to say is that why? So between, let's say we have multiple religions, right? So why do you say Islam is the only true religion, right? So it seems to me, at first it seems like she's saying the standard religious argument, like, oh, my book says so, therefore it's true. And that's obviously a dumb argument, like anything, just because the scripture says something, it doesn't make it true. But what she's actually saying is that if you have to pick a religion as the only true religion, well, why should I pick religions that don't even claim to be the only true religion? Like they themselves don't have scripture that makes that claim. So among all the religions, if I have to pick one as the one true religion, I will pick the one that at least is making that claim. Which, by the way, this argument is wrong for two reasons, for many reasons, but I will show you the other reasons. But that is her point. And I've seen so many Muslims make the same point. She's not making that point very well, but that's what she's referring to. Go ahead, Anna.
Yeah, at first I didn't understand it's her argument because, like, Judaism, it constantly says that Jews are the chosen ones. So you can pick also Judaism for the same reason. Like, if you want to be the chosen people of God, then Judaism is the best, not Islam. It says that Jews are the best.
But it doesn't say that it's the one true religion. That's what I think she's trying to say.
Yes, it doesn't say it's a true religion. They say that doesn't contradict Islam. The Jews were God's chosen people. The Quran also mentions that. It doesn't say that Judaism is the final true religion of God, right? So, but, first of all, even that if that is true, that makes, again, just no evidence and no logical reasoning for us to accept Islam. It is still just based on claims. For us to accept a claim, we actually have to have a logical argument. I say that I have a purple dragon in my toilet right now, and for you to believe in it, and you say, like, why should I believe in it? I'm like, well, no one else is claiming that they have any magical creatures in their toilet, so you might, like, can you find anyone else that is claiming that? Like, no one else is. So if you want to believe in magical creatures in toilets, why not accept the only person that is making that claim, right? So that's basically the line of reasoning that we have here. Another. Do you like that?
Yeah. I have to make the requisite joke, though, where you're saying that God says Jews are their chosen people, and then the joke amongst is the next 5,000 years, choose somebody else.
Right. However, I do have... Oh, go on, Anna. You go first.
Also, like, if Islam is the correct religion, let's say we agree with her, okay? Like, which Islam exactly? I mean, the Muslims themselves are fighting each other. Which way is the correct way? Like, Shias think that Sunnis don't follow Islam correctly. Sunnis think that Shias are extremely wrong. And like she says that God sent one religion, but even within Islam, it's not truly one. Even with, right. within one religion, it's not truly one religion. It's a lot of sects.
No, Anna, those sects are man-made. Islam is God-made. The sects of Islam is human-made. So that's the answer that people give you. Here's the thing. How would you define Christianity? Christianity, if there's one way to define Christianity for me, like that unites all of them, is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right? So that is the definition of Christianity. I mean, that's how I define it, right? So we have a Bible verse, John 14:6, says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if we define Christianity as accepting Jesus, then the Bible is, Jesus in the Bible is claiming that accepting me as your Lord is the only way to God. So technically this verse is saying Christianity is the one and only religion, because Islam does accept Jesus as a prophet, but it doesn't claim this. You know, people are like, oh, this doesn't, you might as a Muslim say like, oh, this doesn't contradict Islam because Islam has Jesus, but it does contradict Islam. It is saying that there's no other way. There is no other way other than accepting Jesus for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. So this verse does claim Christianity as the only one true religion. I mean, I didn't need to show you this to show how stupid her argument was. But we also have in Hinduism, this is the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna is speaking here. And the Bhagavad Gita is saying, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So that's the Gita. And then we have this also from the Bhagavad Gita. And here Krishna is saying, those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship me. All right. So it does seem like worshipping Krishna is suggested at least one part. By the way, Hinduism is very contradictory because there's so many different religions that have been brought into together, and like they call it just put a label Hinduism on it, even though there's so many different things. But again, I see within Hinduism, I see like at least verses that kind of suggest that there's only one way. So what do you guys think about that?
Which is kind of her argument about Muhammad, because she said in Islam, she's saying like all the other religions are actually Islam because they all, you know, have one God. And if you worship one God, then that's actually the same God of Islam, which is sort of what the Krishna is saying. Like, even if you worship everybody else, you're really worshiping me, which is similar to the argument that she made.
Right. Right. But anyway, Nasser, if you want to raise your hand and you can't raise your hand, you could just turn your mic off and on, and I will see that as a sign that you want to speak, because you are at a disadvantage here. You cannot raise your hand for me to see that you want to speak.
Armin, you basically said everything I wanted to say. Like, I wanted
that
first in Christianity, and I wanted to talk about Hinduism, but you did it, so yeah.
I'm sorry, Nasser. I took it away from Nasser.
You know, she's so confident in her ignorance about other religions. Like, how does she know that every single religion in the world doesn't claim it is the true religion? There are so many religions, except for, she only thinks about Christianity and Judaism, but, I mean, she didn't research Zoroastrianism. She didn't research maybe Buddhism. Like, how does she know that every single religion in the world is telling you that it's not really the true religion? It's not.
I mean, let's say there isn't. I could just fix that right now. Worship Armin. It's the only way. Done. Easy peasy. There we go. Okay. So, all right. So. Yes, Arminism. It's easy to do that. All right, we should go to the second video. So let's watch this and see what she has to say.
Islam is as easy as you want to make it. In Al-Baqarah 185 of the Quran, it says, Allah intends ease for you. Allah does not intend hardship for you. So for some people, getting into all the details of what's the rules and the regulations and putting the hijab right away and adhering to every single rule at the very beginning. Some people do really well with that. Some people excel in that, and some people, they really like that. But some people, if they try to focus in all the rules and the regulations, the hijab, all of the regulations right when they become Muslim, they're gonna be scared away from Islam and they're not gonna continue. So some people need a gentler approach. Some people need to focus it on a journey with Allah, not a one day and I'm suddenly a perfect Muslim. No, some people need it.
So what do you guys think about this?
I think it sounds pretty like a personal relationship with God, which is very Christian in how she's talking about it. And I also find it interesting. She keeps saying the rules, the hijab, like that's the only rule she can think of, you know, and she keeps bringing that up. You know, I think that's kind of funny to me. And her whole thing about a journey just sounds very Christian. Aww.
Yeah, you're right. This is a video about her hijab, isn't it? She's like, this is why I'm not wearing the hijab. Nasser, I see you want to speak.
Yeah, so 2 points very quickly. First of all, this verse only talks about Ramadan and that if you're sick or you're traveling, you don't have to keep it. You can keep it later. It's not talking about Islam in general. If you are a Muslim but you don't wear the hijab, you go to hell. That's how it is. The second thing is that this is actually how propaganda, Islamic propaganda works in the West. They don't tell all the truth. They just tell the cute stuff. And then when people convert to Islam, they discover the truth and they're like, oh my gosh, they're trapped. This is very dangerous.
Yeah, so I did look, I did look up the verse. It is talking about fasting and telling you that if it's hard on you to fast, you don't need to fast. That's my understanding of the verse that she's referring to. But I think at the end of the verse, it does make a more general claim that, oh, this is Allah just trying to make things easy for you. So the beginning of the verse starts about specifically talking about fasting. But I do think that it has a broader, the verse seems to have a broader message about God trying to make things not hard for you, right? What do you think about that?
Yeah, sorry. So if you read the tafsirs, it's not exactly what it says. It's usually about, it talks about Ramadan and there is a hadith by Muhammad which says that a woman who doesn't wear the hijab will not feel the odor or the scent of paradise. So right. It doesn't work like that. Yeah.
So tafsir, by the way, is for people who don't know, tafsir means interpretation, the interpretations of the Quran. So I have a lot of, views on this, but I want Anna to say her views and before I add mine. Yeah.
Basically, she's explaining why it is okay to sin, why it is okay to not be very concerned with the things that you must do. And that is actually very bad. Like, as a Muslim, Allah is all forgiving, but you should know when you are sinning. You should know, you should research what Allah wants from you. And if you sin, you should ask forgiveness, not be like, oh, it's like, I just need a gentler approach. No, you should commit to Allah and pray to Allah to give you strength to do everything as he wants. Like, if you don't have the strength to put on the hijab, you should be praying to Allah, please give me strength to follow your commandments. And also, I find it funny that she thinks that if you show the real face of Islam to new converts, it will scare them off. I find it funny.
So I actually disagree with you guys here. I actually think that this is one of her first videos I've seen that she's technically, I think, right. She is not saying it's okay to sin. And if you do sin, you don't necessarily go to hell because you could you know, you could then ask for forgiveness, you know, and you'll be fine. And it is true that a lot of ulama do suggest that a proper way to get people to Islam is to ease into it rather than just doing everything, all of it at the first. Because when you say you need to submit to Islam, the submission to Islam is just accepting God as Allah and Muhammad as his, you know, Rasul, as his messenger, and also accepting the Quran as the word of God. If you do not, so here's the thing, what you have to do, also submit, is to accept that these are God's commandments. Like, you have to accept that these are the commands of God. You don't necessarily have to follow them to be accepted by God. You just have to accept that this is a command, and you are technically sinning if you don't follow them, but it's okay if you come around to it eventually and you ask forgiveness for sinning before. So she is technically correct about what she's saying. Go on, Nana.
Well, I disagree with you, because from her words, I understood that, well, it's written, Islam is as easy as you make it. It means like you can decide what is good for you and what is not good for you, instead of Allah deciding for you. Like, you think that you have the reasoning to understand the actions of Allah and his commandments? You are the...
No, I don't think I don't say it like that. For example, let's say I say that losing weight, you could make it easier, right? So at the end of the day, losing weight is about calorie in, calorie out. I'm not suggesting that you can not exercise and eat whatever you want and you will lose weight. I'm just saying that there are ways for you to make it easier for you. So, for example, if you drink a lot of water, if you sleep more, if you take a lot of fiber, if you, instead of getting into really intense exercises, you just go for half an hour walking every day. So I think like there are ways to make it easier for you. But at the end of the day, there is the principle of calorie in and calorie out applies. But there are ways to make it easier for you. So that's how, if I want to be charitable to her, that is what she's saying. The part that you could, I think, criticize her is that God makes it easier, is trying to make it easy for you to join his cult. And the consequences of not joining are very hard, like very high. Like, this is the unjust part, is God will make it, you know, it's kind of like a cult leader telling you, like, all you have to do is just submit to me and I will make it easy for you. So it is evil. It is, you know, it is disgusting. And it also, I will burn the crap out, like, I will torture you forever if you don't. But just, you know, it's not that hard. Just submit to me. Just accept me. So that is the part that I find disgusting. But I don't, this is the first video I've heard that I don't see that much wrong with it. She is technically correct. Technically correct. I don't know. We could disagree forever on this, right? But if you guys don't want to disagree? Okay, let's move on to the third.
I actually have one last thing to say. Sorry, yeah, I had to let the dogs out. Yeah. I think both of your points are valid, but I still see her talking about it in a very socialized in Christianity, Western Christianity, because she seems to be talking about a relationship that she has, because she even says your journey with God, and from my understanding, that's not how it works in Islam, right? You don't get to like step off the path and then back, and then, you know, you have this intimate, no, there's these commandments and you follow them. I feel like, you know, yeah, your point about easing into it, whatever, I get that. But I still see the way she's talking about it. She's personalizing it in a way that isn't necessarily my experience with either converts or other Muslims. It's not the same sort of Allah's my best friend or my boyfriend kind of thing in the way that a lot of Christians have this with Jesus.
So let me just summarize it and then we'll move on to the third video, right? So if she says that God doesn't want you to wear the hijab. Okay? This is not a sin. Then she has left the fold of Islam. You're not allowed to say that. Okay? But if you say that this is God's commandment to wear the hijab, and she's not very clear about which one of these she's saying, okay? That's why maybe there's a confusion here. But if she says, like, it is a sin not to wear the hijab, it is God's commandment to not drink alcohol, for example, and I am wrong right now to drink alcohol, for example, and I am sinning, and this is bad, and I will try to do better eventually, you're still a Muslim. So if you deny that this is a God's commandment, then you have left the fold of Islam. If you accept that this is God's commandment, but you are not doing the best, you're not doing the best that you should be, then you're still accepted within the fold of Islam, and you could still avoid hellfire. Because if you sin and if you don't ask forgiveness for it, genuinely ask forgiveness for it in Islam, you will have to burn for drinking alcohol or showing your hair or whatever. You would have to burn for that. But you could do Tawbah and, you know, and eventually properly do Islam, and then you will be fine. Anyways, we do need to move on. I see both Nasser and Anna have something to say, but please, under 30 seconds each, go on.
I think she is spreading corruption among the believers by making it look like sinning is not as bad. So actually, for this reason, because Islam is a collective mindset, I would say that it's not Islamic what she's doing.
Okay.
I think that both of you are giving valid points. I mean, I think Armin is right that, you know, Islam makes it pretty easy to join it. Like, there is even the concept of al-mu'allafati qulubihim, which is people whom Muhammad gave money to join Islam. You know, he basically bribed them. Yeah. Al-mu'allafa qulubihim. Look it up. So this is how easy it is to become a Muslim. Like, you can even get money for that. As for the relationship with God, it's true. I felt that when the girl was talking. And it's not really how Islam works. Maybe Sufi Islam, but in traditional Orthodox Islam, you know, the Quran says, God in the Quran says, I've created humans and jinns to, like, worship me. And the word for worship is the same word which is for work. So they should work for me. Yeah. Ibadah, which is in Hebrew, oved, right. Work, you know.
Yeah. One last word I want to add, and this we do need to move on, is that once she eventually accepts that she needs to wear the hijab, she needs to come out and take all these videos down. Like, that would not be accepted of her if she wears the hijab and she's like, okay, now I'm properly doing Islam. All of the videos that she has without her hijab, she needs to remove them, or else if each one of these videos people seeing it would be sinning. All right, yeah. So let's go to go on.
I just want to say, yeah, you're right, there's no turning back once you wear the hijab. That's it.
Yeah, unless you turn. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on. And I don't want to get into so much detail, but let's go to this. All right. So let's see. Let's just play this one through and through, and then we can comment on it after.
So, if you must fight, then strike only at those combatants who attacked.
By the way, so actually, for the people who can't see, because some people are just listening to this without looking at the screen, what she has on her video says, "They lied to me about Islam." So let's see what she says they lied to her about.
So, if you must fight, then strike only at those combatants who attacked you. Do not attack women, children, the elderly, or those retreating in their places of worship. Do not cut down trees or kill animals. Fighting against aggressors is allowed regardless of their faith. Fighting innocents is prohibited regardless of their faith. The Quran makes it clear that men and women are equal before God and before the law. If there are any abuses against women that are cultural practices in Muslim countries, they contradict Islamic teachings. Islam guarantees the freedom of non-Muslims to practice their faith as well as protection for their places of worship. The Prophet said, "Whoever harms a non-Muslim under the protection of Islam, I shall be their opponent on Judgment Day, and they will not even smell paradise." Quran teaches three types of brotherhood. You have your brotherhood in humanity, all humans being equal. You have your biological brotherhood, your siblings, and you have your brotherhood in faith, your fellow Muslims. Judgment Day arrives and you have a seedling in your hand, plant it regardless, and don't waste water even if you live by the river. The Prophet prohibited polluting water sources and promised a heavenly reward for planting trees to feed animals, birds, and humans. He taught that a good deed done to an animal is like a good deed done to a human being. The Prophet prohibited the use of live birds and animals for target, the killing of animals for sport, slaughtering an animal in front of another animal, and forbade overburdening animals and underfeeding them. Best among their believers are those who are best to their wives, and that paradise lies under the feet of the mother.
All right, who wants to go first? There's so much here. Just Rivka first.
I was just making her like gotcha symbol, but yeah, I feel like this is just typical cherry picking. I mean, you could find in any religion. Here's some good passages, so it's all good, you know. And I feel like she's purposely trying to do this. Ha ha, everybody. You know, it's not true, you know, and it's really just like any other Western social justice movement. That's sort of what I feel like she's trying to, because she's emphasizing, you know, be kind to animals. Women are equal under the law, which we know isn't true because they don't get the same inheritance and they have different standards for witnesses. And but I'm going to let I can see that you're waiting to say something, so go ahead.
Go on.
Me?
Who's yeah, go on, Nasser, you go first.
Yeah, so you're right, there is so much to say about this, but you know, I just want to say one thing about the three brotherhoods you talked about. I have no idea where this comes from. I've never heard about this. But what I have heard about is the Aqidat al-Wala wal-Bara, which is basically the doctrine of liking and disliking, or maybe word, like the doctrine of friendship and hatred. And there are Quranic verses and also hadiths which basically tell Muslims that they should never like or be in a friendship relationship with non-Muslims. They should only be friends with other Muslims, and that they should hate Jews and Christians and, you know, everyone else. So yeah, this is completely wrong. There is a brotherhood, there is the concept of brotherhood in Islam, which is al-ukhuwa, but it's only between Muslims. And Muslims often say uhibbuka fillah, which is I love you in God, which basically means I love you because you're a Muslim. And they also can say akrahuka or abghaduka fillah, which is I hate you in the name of God because you're not a Muslim. So this is completely wrong.
And Anna, you got to bring up the jizya, because she's saying, you know, oh, you know, everyone's equal. Well, not if you're a dhimmi.
Yeah, like, for example, the Quran says several times to fight the disbelievers, to fight also the Jews and the Christians until they are, yeah, this is the verse I've been thinking about, to fight the Jews and the Christians until they are humbled or humiliated. And also, she talks about women being equal to men in front of God and also in front of the law. But the law, the Islamic law, clearly states that women are not equal. The testimony of two women is equal to one man, to the testimony of one man. And also women can't testify in criminal offenses, in hudud crimes, in crimes that are more like killing, like raping. They can't testify, according to like most schools of thought that I know of. So, for example, in order to prove adultery, you need four witnesses, but it should be four male witnesses. You can't bring eight women to testify adultery.
Also, she said that the non-believers which are under the protection of Islam, this is an important thing. Under the protection is Islam means dhimma, ahla dhimma. Or there is another concept, which is basically when you sign a peace treaty with someone, with another country. But any other non-believers which are not under the rule of Islam and don't pay jizya, and you don't have a peace treaty with them, you can kill them. You can go there and wage war with them. Like, this is basic jihad fiqh, you know.
Yeah, so actually, if you read this Quranic verse 9:29, says, fight those who do not believe in Allah or in the last day and who do not consider unlawful what Allah and his messenger have made unlawful. By the way, this is the part that I was saying, that you have to consider the commandments of God as commandments of God. Even if you don't follow them, you have to consider them unlawful, right? Have made unlawful, and who do not adopt the religion of truth, basically Islam, from those who were given the scripture. So yeah, if you've been given the scripture, if the Quran was presented to you and you don't accept it, you are supposed to fight these people. Fight until they give the jizya. So this is the money, the tax that you have to pay if you're not a Muslim. Willingly, while they are humbled. And also, Nasser, you mentioned that humbled is not a good translation here. What's a better translation for you?
It's humiliated. Sagirun means humiliated. And also, الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, in Quran, it usually refers to Christians and Jews, sometimes to as-sabi'a, which is like not Zoroastrians, the ones who believe in Yahya, al-Nabi Nahya, the Prophet Yahya. So if you're not a Christian or a Jew, you're not Ahl al-Kitab, but you're a non-believer, this doesn't apply.
Ahl al-Kitab means let's translate for people. Ahl al-Kitab means people of the book, which means either Muslim, Christian, or Jew. So go on.
Abrahamic religions, basically.
Abrahamic religions, yeah.
Yeah, yes. If you're not of the Abrahamic religions, this doesn't apply
you're
to
screwed.
You. For example, if you're a Hindu, you cannot pay jizya, for example. You're screwed, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was a debate among Muslims when they managed to invade Iran, because they couldn't kill all these Zoroastrians. So they were like, do you guys have a book? Because we can't kill all of you. We want to call you the people of the book somehow, because there's too many of you to kill. No, this was seriously a debate. Like, do you guys happen to have a book? go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, about defensive Islam, defensive jihad. She mentioned that jihad is only defensive. This is not true. There are two types of jihad. There's defensive and offensive. And the offensive one is like to spread the religion. And Muhammad, for example, said, you know, in if I'm not mistaken, in Sahih al-Bukhari. So he said, I was commanded, or I was ordered by God to fight people, uqatil al-nas, nas which is people, until they believe in God and they take Islam as their religion. And if they do so, they are protected under the umbrella of Islam. So this is not about defense. This is about going to other people's countries and waging war against them to make them believe in, to force Islam into them. So this is about when she said like that there, jihad is defensive, and also about the fact that she talked about being protected under Islam. This is what it really means.
So I don't know what she's even reading, because what she's reading is not the Quran or the Hadith. I think she's reading some people's opinions about Islam. That's what she's reading. She's not reading, like, what she's reading is obviously not the text of the Quran, right? So I don't know, and I don't know if she's reading Hadith or the Tafsir maybe, but whatever she's reading, she's not giving us, I mean, I'm not seeing the source of it, and if she's reading anything that is refers to Hadith, I'm not seeing if it's authentic or not. However, I want to move on from the how they treat, not Islam asks you to treat non-Muslims, because I think we made that point that she's wrong about that. I do have some hadiths. I have four hadiths ready for you guys to address some of the other claims that she made about women and animals. And I also have, maybe if we have time, to address some sirah about how they treated Jewish people. Oh, let me see. There's something here. But go on, Anna, and then Rivka. But guys, keep it short, because I want to make sure that I get to show you these four hadiths.
like in Surah 9, it is written several times to fight the disbelievers, also in 973 and in 123, I think. And it is not written fight the disbelievers only after they attack you and you are sure you... No. It's written very clearly, like, to fight the disbelievers, like, it sounds a commandment to fight those who disbelieve. Right. And also beforehand, it says to fight the polytheists and kill them whenever, wherever you find them, and take captives among them.
Got it. So I want to move past this killing disbelievers, attacking disbelievers one. But Rivka, go on. But
no, go really go quickly. Ahead. Go ahead, because I was basically right. going to say what I
say the same thing. Okay, good. So let me just play, because it's been a while since we listened to it. I just want to make sure that we got the her claims. With this context, let's listen to her one more time, and I'll show you the parts that she got
wrong. You must fight, then strike only at those combatants who attacked you. Do not attack women, children, the elderly, or those retreating in their places of worship. Do not cut down trees or kill animals. Fighting against aggressors is allowed regardless of their faith. Fighting innocents is prohibited regardless of their faith.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So quickly, innocent is the Quran's, the Islam's definition of innocent. Technically, if you're not a Muslim, you're not innocent because you have not accepted scripture.
God makes it clear that men and women are equal before God and before.
Okay. Men and women are equal. Let me just quickly address that.
That's not true.
Yeah, this is so not true. I'm not going to get into too much detail. I just want to make sure I quickly address all of this, right? So, is this the verse that I want to have? Yes, 434. Men are in charge of women right of what Allah has given one over the other. And this is the Quran. I'm not even showing you the hadith, okay? This is clearly the Quran telling you that men are superior. And because God has given men more than women, so men are superior. Also, at the end of it, it tells you to strike women. Okay, it tells husband, just go look at Quran 434. At the beginning, it says that men are in charge of women because God favors them, and then at the end says if your wives are being, if you fear disobedience from your wives, make sure you beat them or strike them.
Could you show me the Arabic, please, Armin? Just quickly.
No, Azra Bahunna. You were looking for the Azra Bahunna, right?
Yeah, there is no lightly in the Arabic. I don't see lightly.
There is no lightly. Yes, yes, they added lightly here in the English in brackets, but there's no lightly here. It's Azra Bahunna. There's no light. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So let me go to this one. This is, again, by the way, the hadith guys that we're showing you, they are, let me see actually, is this, yeah, this is Sahih Bukhari. This is Sahih. This is authentic. This is authentic hadith. This is definitely a part of Islam. Okay, it's an established part of Islam. The hadith is only second to the Quran. I don't know. She didn't provide her sources. I am providing my sources here. You can see the sources here. You could see that this is Sahih hadith. And this one says, the Prophet said, I looked at paradise and I saw that the majority of its residents were the poor. So poor people, most of them, like a lot of them, are going to go to paradise. And I looked at the hell and I saw that the majority of its residents were women. So hell is filled with women, according to Prophet Muhammad. Okay. Let me go to the next hadith. Let me see if this is Sahih. Yeah, this is Sahih as well. Okay, so this is authentic hadith. It says, once Allah Messenger went out to somewhere, and then he passed by the woman and said, oh, woman, give alms, as I have seen that the majority of the dwellers of hellfire were you, woman. Okay. This is so pro-woman. That's such a beautiful religion. They ask, why is it so? Oh, Allah's Messenger. Okay, Allah's Messenger means Muhammad. Okay. See, this is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replied, you curse frequently. So why women? Why are women going to go to hell? Why are most women going to go to hell? You curse frequently and are ungrateful to your husbands. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh God, this is again. Muhammad is saying women go to hell because they are deficient in intelligence and religion. I have not seen anyone more deficient in intelligence and religion than you. A conscious, sensible man could be led astray by some of you. The woman asked, "Oh, Allah's Messenger, what is deficient in our intelligence and our religion?" He said, "Is not the evidence of two women equal to the witness of one man?" So some people are like, okay, maybe she's talking about those specific women over there. And like, no, because Muhammad then refers to the Quranic verse saying, like, don't you see in the Quran that says that you need two witnesses, wherever you need one man to be a witness, you need two women to be a witness. Now Muhammad is explaining the reason why you need two witnesses is because women are deficient in intelligence. They replied in the affirmative. He said, this is the deficiency in her intelligence. And then says, isn't it true that a woman can neither pray nor fast during her period? The woman replied in affirmative. He said, this is the deficiency in her religion. So again, when she said men or women are equal in Islam, I showed you both the Quran and Hadith that confirms that they are not. Okay, so let's continue.
Any of this is against women.
Yeah, go on.
I think me and Nasser have some things to say. What I want to say is that what she told that killing women is prohibited in Islam. Well, Islam sees women as property. Why would you want to destroy your property? It's much better to take the women captive, enslave them, and have sexual relationship with them. So, according to Islam.
Actually, Anna, there is a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah which says that if a man kills a woman, he just needs to pay a price. But if a woman kills a man, of course she has to be killed. So they are not, yeah, it's the verse about qasas, like about justice, an eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth, and yeah, if a so there is about three men, free men, free women.
All right, guys, we're hitting close to the 1 hour mark. Can you really quickly, because I have another hadith to show? But go on.
Yeah, just one more hadith. Muhammad said that women walk like women walk, their front part looks like Satan and their back part looks like Satan, so he equals women to Satan. And yes, also yes. There is another one which says that if a nation is ruled by a woman, this nation will never have success.
He also says that your prayer is broken if a donkey or a woman walks in front of you.
Yeah.
And Aisha, I think at some point gets angry, like you're comparing us to freaking donkeys. I mean, Aisha actually complains about this hadith. All right, but let me quickly get to the other part that I want to talk about.
Our cultural practices in Muslim countries, they contradict Islamic teachings. Islam guarantees the freedom of non-Muslims to practice their faith as well as protection for their places of worship. The Prophet said, whoever harms a non-Muslim under the protection of Islam, I shall be their opponent on judgment day, and they will not even smell paradise.
So yeah, by the way, she's correct about this. If you are Ahlul Kitab and you're under the protection of Islam, then you have to, then you can't harm them. But remember, this is exactly how the mafia works. Okay, this is it's true. If you submit to them and they accept your submission and you're humbled and humiliated and you pay the jizya, technically they will. Then you're under the protection, just like the mafia.
Yeah,
but guys, everybody wants to speak, and I'm saying we have to move on. Rivka first, like 10 seconds, and then Anna, and then we need to move on.
I want to go back to the thing about women, where in the hadith, Muhammad's telling them that they're deficient in religion because men will be led astray by them. And I just want to point out that all of these negative things and any problems or anything a man does wrong, it's because of the woman. So she's deficient in intelligence and isn't equal, but she has some sort of power to lead men astray. So you can't win here. You're powerful enough to lead men astray, but you're also deficient in intelligence and deficient in religion. So it's all sort of left on her to be this problem. That's sort of how it's interpreted to me.
All right, Anna, really short.
The Jews of Khaybar were expelled during a Muslim rule. They paid jizya, they were under protection, yet they were still expelled. So even if you are under protection, the Muslim rulers can do whatever they want with you.
And slaughtered. Don't forget that part too.
The Banu Qurayza people, they were technically under the protection, but like Muhammad came up with a stupid excuse to slaughter all of them and sell their women and children into slavery to buy horses and weapons. Nasser?
Yeah,
oh, nothing. Just, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, nothing. Go ahead.
Yeah, go on. Oh, sorry. Let me just get to this because this is the worst part. Again, this should not be the worst part, but this a lot of people take this as the worst part.
Quran teaches three types of brotherhood. You have your brotherhood in
okay, not the brotherhood.
Humanity, all humans being equal. You have your biological brotherhood, your siblings, and you have your brotherhood in faith, your fellow Muslims. Judgment Day arrives and you have a seedling in your hand, plant it regardless, and don't waste water even if you live by the river. The Prophet prohibited polluting water sources and promised a heavenly reward for planting trees to feed animals, birds, and humans. He taught that a good deed done to an animal is like a good deed done to a human being.
Okay, good. Then here's the part of Islam. There are so many parts of Islam that I don't know how it exists and it still is taken seriously as a religion. There are people love, I think the most popular things, at least in the West, are pizzas, ice cream, and dogs, I think. Like, I don't know. And if you go against one of these, I don't think you could survive as an ideology. And I seriously don't understand how Islam is popular when it's so anti-dog. So again, this part that is supposed to be a good deed to animals, again, one more time.
It's like a good deed done to a human being.
Yeah, good deed done to an animal is like a good deed done to a human being. That's how pro-animal, apparently, Islam is. Well, let's take a look at that, okay? This one, yeah. And again, this is Sahih. This is part of authentic part of Islam. Okay, we're giving you, I mean, I don't know where she's pulling her information out of, but we're giving you authentic Islamic hadith, right? So Allah's messenger ordered us to kill dogs, and we carried out this order so much so that we also killed a dog coming with a woman from the desert. Then Allah's messenger, Allah's apostle, forbade their killing. He, the prophet, further said, it is your duty to the jet black dog having two spots for it is the devil, right? So apparently Muhammad said that at first he was so anti-dog that he said kill all the dogs, but some event happened that they were like, okay, this was, they killed so many dogs, and they by accident they killed the guard dog of a woman coming out of the desert, and I'm like, okay, oopsie, we killed her dog, and apparently we shouldn't have. And I'm like, okay, stop killing the dogs, but if you see dogs that are fully black except two spots on their eyes, under the eyes, then that one is the devil and you should kill that one. But there are so many other hadiths about Muhammad ordering people to kill dogs, or and also saying, telling people that dogs are the devil or black dogs are the devil. And yeah, so this is, you know, Muhammad ordering people to kill dogs. So I don't know, who do you believe, this lady,
the use of lies,
that is not, I don't know where she's pulling this information from. It might be even correct, but again, I showed you my sources. Again, dogs being anti-dog, how do you guys think it's possible for Islam to spread in the West when Westerners love their dogs so much, and Islam clearly telling you that you're supposed to, that at some point Muhammad ordered people to kill dogs? How is this possible for such a religion to survive? I mean, if you're not against, you know, child marriage, I mean child rape, which is Islam advocates, if you're not against slavery, it's not, if you're not against wife beating, if you're not against sex slaves taken in battle, all of this, maybe you're like, okay, you know what, I'm cool with that, I'm okay with a child rape, right? But killing dogs, I think for a lot of people, that's a red line. that's a huge red line for most people. For even for evil people, that's a huge red line. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think they're listening to women like this who are lying to them and right, telling them that, you know, it's not the case, it's not true, or that, as she said in the beginning, oh, it's just, or maybe it was the other video, oh, it's just a cultural thing, it's not actually Islam. It's just this culture thinks dogs are unclean, or this culture, but not in Islam, because Muhammad, you know, loved dogs so much and you should treat them so well. And I honestly, I really do think it's because they're being lied to, and they're also not looking at all of it. They're only looking at the things that confirm what they want to hear, which is what very many people in religion do.
And also, when you try to say the truth about Islam, they qualify you as Islamophobic. So they don't really hear what Islam is all about. They don't hear the truth. There is a lot of misinformation. That's the problem.
I think that's a really good point, Nasser, because I think that this is what she's trying to do with this video, is list all these alleged virtues and how social justice-y and kind and nice. So anybody who disagrees with this, you're just an Islamophobe. You just dislike Muslims. No, it's really the, you know, the wokest religion on the planet. I honestly think that this is the goal of her video. And this is why at the very end, she's got this sort of, see, gotcha, you know?
Right. Speaking of dog, we could hear your dog. But go on, Anna.
And, you know, I just thought that all her arguments are based on the Western values, like that equality and gender equality and being nice to animals. But Islam teaches exactly the opposite. I mean, a woman can't become an imam. A woman can't become an ayatollah in Shia Islam, and can't lead prayer unless it's like leading the prayer of all women. Okay, so even within Islam, there is no equality whatsoever within Islam. So she says about this ideology that it is pro-equality, while inside it, everything she learns was written by men, was told by men, was propagated by men.
And if also, you just think of if you just think about the inheritance, right? You don't get as much, and they do this lie, well, because men have to take care of women, but they're taking care of women because they're in charge of them. And from what I see is that according to all this in Islam, there's men are people, but women aren't people. They're just women, which is a separate category from people. I'm sorry, Nasser, I cut you. Go ahead.
No problem. I just wanted to add something about animals. So for some reason, Muhammad didn't like geckos because he ordered Muslims to kill every gecko that they find. And one of the reasons he gives is that...
What, really?
Yeah. In Arabic, it's called al-wazagh, gecko. Hmm. And the reason he gives is that when Abraham was put in a fire, all the animals tried to help him, but the gecko actually...
Oh, yes. Right. On,
yeah, you heard about it?
Yeah, I heard about it. So Islam is pro-cat and pro-spider, right? Anti-dog and anti-gecko. You're right. Gecko and dog are bad. Cats loves cats and spiders. So many Muslims who are scared of spiders don't kill them because spiders help Muhammad at some point, right? So one spider at least. Yeah. But go on, Anna. I do want to read this hadith and also read the super chat. So really short.
I think Islam is also anti-lizards in general, because in one hadith, Jews became lizards.
Anna, we're like really doing good with not being demonetized today. So please do not compare Jewish people to anything.
A certain group.
Too late. It's too late. No, don't say. Don't stop. We got the message. I don't need to, guys. Like, let me see. We're still. This is. We have been very good not being demonetized right on this stream so far. So that's okay. Let me just read this hadith. But yeah, this again, not your fault. Again, Anna is a Jew herself, so I don't know what the hell YouTube has done. YouTube is stupid when it comes to understanding what we're saying. By the way, the hadith that I mentioned to you about killing dogs and stuff, it's like plenty of, like, that's not just one Sahih hadith. There's so many of them, right? So, okay, this one is not Sahih, but there's one above that was Sahih. I will show you that one. But again, this hadith is you know, so mentioned so many times. Where it is, this one says, where it is not that dogs from one of the communities or nations of creatures. Oh yeah, okay. So were it not that dogs form one of the communities or nations of creatures, I would have commanded that they be killed. But kill those that are black. Any people who keep a dog except for dogs used for farming, hunting, or herding livestock, will be deducted. One something will be deducted from their reward each day. So Muhammad is like, for some weird reason, apparently dogs have their own nations or communities or something. I don't know what his reason is. He says Muhammad really wants to kill all dogs, and he says, unfortunately, I can't command to kill all dogs, but at least kill the ones that are all black. This is what Muhammad is saying here, right? Which is kind of weird. I didn't know dogs have nations. What the hell is all that about? Here's another one here, confirming the other story. This one is Sahih, saying Allah's Messenger ordered the killing of dogs, and we would send men in Medina and its corners, and we did not spare any dog that we did not kill, so much so that we killed the dog that accompanied the wet she camel belonging to the people of the desert. So apparently it's referring to the previous story that I mentioned, that they killed so many dogs, and at some point they stopped because they killed a woman's dog that they weren't supposed to. But you can see there's more hadith here talking about killing dogs. It keeps going, killing dogs for a long time, right? So there's that. I do want to read some super chats really quickly before we go. By the way, guys, thank you so much for the super chats. Make sure you like the stream. Liking the stream makes more people become aware of how idiotic and backwards and violent and inhuman and anti-animal and anti-everything wholesome and good Islam is. So make sure you like the stream so more people end up seeing this content, because I think we did a good job addressing all this nonsense by these new converts to Islam. Benny with the $5 super chat. Thank you so much, Benny, saying, I appreciate your discussion and respectful disagreement. Oh yeah, it's good actually that we have disagreement. People could see multiple views. I think I like that we don't agree on everything. I think that's good. And then Benny saying, thank you for using these videos as stimuli, right? To discuss both Islam and social issues. And also, I think that something special love for Rifka at the very end. Okay. Thank you so much, Benny. And Bender, I miss Bender. Bender with the £5 super chat saying, how to get, what is that? Of like 10,000 of like, oh, so you guys in Europe, you don't use the apostrophe, you use a dot. That's weird. I was like 10.00. Okay, 10,000 of likes on TikTok as a Westerner. Pretend to convert to Islam and talk BS. Actually, it's a really good way to get money as well. I'm not gonna recommend that. YouTube might think I'm actually promoting a scam. YouTube is stupid. Thank you so much for the super chat. And Chris with the $5 super chat with just the heart, but no message, but just the heart. Well, I appreciate the heart. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. All right, guys, we're already over the 1 hour mark. Do you have any final remarks? If you don't.
Yeah. Do you? About polluting water sources and cutting trees, Muhammad literally did all of that. I mean, in the Battle of Badr, yes. Muhammad did pollute the water. He did. He blocked the wells of the Quraysh in the way of the Quraysh. So he did exactly what she says is forbidden in Islam. The most perfect man in Islam just did those.
Right, you're right. Yes, very good point. By the way, guys, we still haven't been demonetized. This is a good record. We are at the end of the stream. We didn't get demonetized. So, Anna, you're safe. You didn't. So, that's good. Amazing. All right, guys, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure you hit the bell notification. If you disagree with what we said, leave a comment telling us why we're dumb. If you are a Muslim, please contact me on Twitter. Search for Armin Nawabi on Twitter and message me, and we could have a discussion about the things that we get wrong about Islam. Come live here on air and educate us. I'll keep it friendly if you want, or I could keep it not friendly if you prefer that. You know, I'll, you know, that's I'm open for either one. Anyways, Guys, thank you. Thank you for everybody who used the super chat. And shame on you if you did not like the stream. I don't know why you wouldn't. We spent 1 hour and 10 minutes talking to you guys. You could spend half a second. I know a lot of you are just listening to the stream while like doing something else. Just come to your phone. Just hit the like button. It doesn't take that long, but it really, really helps us grow. If you appreciate content like this, and if you want to see more of it, please make sure you at least do that. If you want to support us more, you can leave a comment after the stream is over. Those really help a lot. If you want to support us even more, all of this is free. It doesn't cost you anything. You could recommend our channel to more people. Tell people to come and subscribe to Atheist Republic. You could share this video. All of these ways are great ways to support this channel without spending a single cent. So please do at least some of those things, and preferably all of them. Anyways, guys, thank you. Until the next show. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.